Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Now, more Gresham for you on WEEI.
All right, we're back in on the Harbor One Hotline. Is, I guess, everybody's best friend here on this show is Tom E. Kern. Tom, you're on with Lou Maloney, the smaller Andy, and me.
It's two of my favorite ex-Boston athletes.
Hi, Tom.
Yeah.
Miss you.
Andy.
Yeah. Waka waka. I miss you, Tom. Hope you're well.
We're going to get together.
You think, though? You really think? Lou doesn't have time for anybody anymore. He works like 162 days out of the year now, Tom.
I'll go to his kids' Little League game or Babe Ruth game or
AAU
game.
Nice. There we go. We'll get down that Lakeville range.
So, Curran, so... lots of happening down at Gillette. The one thing that stood out to me after listening to Jabril Peppers was this whole idea that certain slogans aren't noticeable anymore. And one in particular was the whole "do your job" that was not necessarily on the walls, and maybe it is, but he hasn't seen it. How do you feel about these slogans being removed?
I don't really register an opinion. I understand why you would want to maintain so many of the edicts that Bill Belichick adhered to, whether it's ignore the noise, do your job, speak for yourself. All of those things are important. Whether or not they're on the wall, I think that they would still apply. But I understand why, too, you would say, okay, well, new broom sweeps clean. We're going to do things differently. So I don't have a massive reaction one way or the other.
Well, let me phrase it a different way, because I don't think you're ever allowed to say I don't have an opinion, because I get yelled at when I say that. People yell at me when I say that.
There's a draft going on in 2 weeks, and you're talking about the slogans on the wall.
Yeah, I'll tell you why I'm talking about the slogans on the wall. Because to me, the whole that do your job is like play like a champion. It's like roll tide, regardless of who the coach is. That should stay, regardless of how many silos you want to knock down. I think it's silly. Do you have an opinion on that?
When they start losing games because guys forget to do their jobs, then I guess you have a point. I mean, I just don't think it rises to the level of, what's on the wall. I'm surprised.
I know
what's on the wall.
The thing is, Tommy, I feel like you downplay everything that he does down there. There's this level of protection that you have that, and whenever anybody criticizes Mayer or what he's doing, you don't have an opinion or you defend him.
Oh, bam.
I don't. Maybe. I mean, I think the guy's an inexperienced. I mean, what am I supposed to do? Lacerate the guy for not having a sign on the wall? I think that's picayune type of minor stuff that you're inflamed about. Like I said, with a draft 2 weeks away, something's not on the wall, and you're going to pick it. Get the torches and pitchforks. I just don't think it's a big deal. If they stop doing their jobs and start paying attention to the noise, which to a degree I think that they have been doing in this offseason, well, then I guess we have an issue.
All right, Tommy, I want to get back, because I obviously haven't been following it like I once was. So I'm curious, after watching what they did in free agency, the draft approaches, is it obvious what their draft approach would be given what they signed or didn't sign in free agency, say, other than quarterback?
I think their failures in free agency kind of indicated to me that they might want to be more amenable to trading back, because if you can't fill your wide receiver need, if you can't fill your offensive tackle need through free agency, to me that would say, okay, well, what are we going to do? We have all these wide receivers here who are going to be first round picks. Do we want to get one of these guys? So when they failed in free agency to bring in anybody noteworthy, I thought that might reconfigure the way they approach the draft. Does it? Did it? We'll find out in 2 weeks. But I think that you have an opportunity at multiple positions, including cornerback, which people haven't really discussed very much, to make the team a lot better with high-end talent. So I'm curious to see if any kind of trade-down bag emerges that allows them or makes them interested in switching from quarterback. But, you know, when Robert Kraft is talking about, I want, you know, a top-tier quarterback from the draft, it's hard to pivot that way.
Tom, I believe you've said it was going to take more than three first-round picks. Is that accurate in your belief for a trade down?
Yes.
What is more important to the decision of trading down? Is it what happens with the two picks ahead of them, or is it simply how big the bag?
I think it's the bag. I think it's bag size completely. Like, how generous is somebody going to be? How desperate is somebody going to be to move up? And, you know, the inclination is, and that was more of a hypothetical, what would it take?
Mm-hmm.
And it has to outstrip what San Francisco gave up, was basically the contention. So to me, that means four. The only team that can really do four would be the Minnesota, because you can't, if you only have one first round pick this year, you can't go further into the future than 2 years. You can't trade 2027 draft picks. So to me, it's an interesting proposition. It's kind of Minnesota or bust if you're looking for four first-round picks.
All right, I'm going to see if you have an opinion on this one.
Oh, boy.
Sorry, Tom.
How many quarterbacks?
I don't know.
Listen, it's been that type of week for me. How many quarterbacks in the draft, in the draft, can you say that you watched every single game and every single throw?
Ooh.
Of the top four quarterbacks, can you say you watched every single play that they
had? Has anyone done that?
Oh, yeah. There's a lot of people bragging
every
about
throw,
it. A lot of people
bragging. Every throw, every run from May, every throw, every run from McCarthy.
Okay, why those two?
From 2023.
Why those two?
Wow. A lot of time.
Because those guys, they're the most likely to be hanging there at three.
And
in
who,
my
do like? Who do you
like? I like McCarthy's footwork. I like think McCarthy's more athletic. I think McCarthy's arm is just as strong. I like so much about what McCarthy has because I think his floor is higher. So that to me argues in favor of McCarthy. I think to me is, can they go wrong if they take McCarthy? Can they go wrong if they take May? None of those picks, or Daniels, none of those picks you can sit there and say, well, they really screwed that up. That's not the guy, even though I know, Andy Hart,
yes,
that you have absolutely no patience for the McCarthy conversation.
True.
And he's good. He's really friggin' good. So to me, people will second guess the McCarthy pick, but I think there's a greater chance if you take Drake May and say, we're going to fix all this stuff. It's not a problem. Footwork, decision-making, inability to slide, all that stuff's going to be fixed. And then in 2 years, because you've been playing with a team that's not very good, none of those problems are fixed, and he's got new ones. So I think McCarthy would be a safer pick. But as Mel Kiper told us yesterday when I asked him about it, he said Drake May is the home run potential.
So I'm just looking at just, you know, when it comes to Drake May, you think about, you know, the amount of attempts, 425 attempts to J.J. McCarthy at 332 attempts just for their 2023 season. Less opportunities to evaluate him based on the amount of times that he's actually thrown, and if you break that down even further, meaningful throws. Now, is he being more judged on his pro day, his combine, and the ultimate, hey, this guy has all the tools, than he is his actual play at Michigan?
If you watch the games against Alabama and Ohio State, you'll see why people would put him up there. So you don't really have those games from Drake May against competition like that. That's, I think, a drawback. Drake May went 6-0 at the beginning of the season. His team finished 7-4. And there's myriad excuses made. Oh, it's the offensive coordinator. It's the eligibility issues for his wide receiver. There was nobody knew where to go. You don't have those same qualifiers attached to J.J. McCarthy because in the games that he played, which were high-leverage, high-stakes games, he performed. So while there's not the same volume of throws for a younger player, the level of success that he had, and yes, he had better players around him than Drake May, but so did Jaden Daniels arguably have better players there. So did Michael Penix at Washington. So all of these guys come with qualifiers to how they performed in these games. But if you watch Alabama and Ohio State, how many of these guys have you watched every throw of? Christian.
Oh, me? Oh, none of them.
None.
None. Uh-huh. None of every throw. None of every throw. Here's what I do. I'll tell you what I do.
Ooh.
So Merrill Hodge, Dan Orlovsky, like Merrill Hodge comes out and he rips Drake May. And he says, you know, NC State game, it's terrible. Clemson, terrible. So, I go to their worst game, and I evaluate them on their worst game. That NC State game was horrible from beginning to end.
Horrible.
The Clemson game, because I think situation, circumstances is a thing when you're talking about the quarterbacks that you're judging. By the time they reached Clemson, Clemson was pissed. They were playing on the road. By the time they got NC State, that defense, which is stacked with a bunch of great players, a bunch of guys, fifth-year, sixth-year guys that are going to be drafted, they were trying to prove a point, and they took it out on
Drake
May.
These are the qualifiers. These are the qualifiers that get attached to these players depending upon somebody's leaning. For instance, when you look at what McCarthy did against Ohio State and Alabama, those are teams that are just absolutely stocked with not just NFL players, but first and second and third round NFL players. So you're watching somebody go against in Ohio State and run away from NFL level players with regularity.
So Tom, you mentioned before talking about floor, higher floor. And I guess this goes with like risk reward. At three, are you looking for the highest floor or the highest ceiling?
Ooh,
look at you. Deep. Circle, right? Like, gets a square.
Because at three, I don't know if I want a floor guy. You know what I mean? I want somebody that's going to take off, skyrocket.
I get you. I totally do. And if you want to do that, and that's why Mac Jones, I think most people said, all right, I get it. Because you never thought the Patriots were going to be a team that would bottom out.
Yeah.
So, hey, all right, so we'll get a game manager. Bill Belichick's the head coach. The team's going to be fine. You get Josh McDaniels, an offensive coordinator. How bad could it get? He's going to be a guy who gets us to 8-8, and if they have guys around him, it could be a 12-13 win team in a couple of years because Mac will be just like Brady, smart, accurate, do the right thing at the right time. Well, he wasn't surrounded by good enough players, so he did bottom out, and that would be my bottomed out in a way that I don't think a Drake May would, for instance. But if you don't surround these players with good enough talent, how bad will they get? And that to me is a concern. If you want to go for the home run, take the massive swing, then Drake May would be your guy, but you're also going to put him in a situation where he has to be a superhero.
Yeah.
If you take J.J. McCarthy, he's not going to make those knee-buckling mistakes, in my estimation, that Drake May might be prone to. And when you start making knee-buckling mistakes, as Mac did, you eventually become completely unusable. So that's why the appeal of trading down, I think, nationally has become much more prevalent in the past week or so for the Patriots, that would be a sensible thing to do. I thought that initially because the team around him isn't that good, but the more I watch the quarterbacks, May included, the more I say, this kid's really friggin' good. This kid could really solve a lot of problems. So, but I still think trading down absolutely has its merits because of the quality of the players in the draft.
Tom, what do you think your guy Tom Brady was doing on this haircut podcast? Not only talking about, maybe being open to coming back, but offering up a team that would make sense would be the Patriots.
Can you ask that question again? I'm sorry.
What do you think Tom Brady was doing bringing up the idea of returning to the NFL and offering up an option by the name of the Patriots?
Spitballing, but never spitballing without purpose.
Ooh.
I mean, does he want to be back involved in the NFL? Is he bored? I don't know, but I just don't think that you offer that up because you know what the reaction's going to be.
Yep.
You know how that's going to play when you mention two teams like that. You understand you're already sending up a trial balloon to the NFL as to would you allow me to play for a team if I am a part owner of them. Now, how could he go anywhere but the Raiders? You can't be part owner of the Raiders and play for the Patriots. It just makes his nonsense. Now, Michael Jordan was a part owner of the Wizards, if I'm not mistaken, when he played for the Wizards. Correct me if I'm wrong.
Yes, I believe that is accurate, yes.
Yeah, so you can't fathom going any place but that. So does he put his ownership stake on hold, or the NFL has kind of already done that, and decide you want to go back and play? But he's a 47-year-old quarterback who only wants to do it on his terms at this point, and he'd make a massive difference. He's probably you know, still physically able to go out and play better than half the league. So the question is it boredom or is it serious?
Would you take him here?
Sure. I mean, he's going to be better than Drake May in 2024.
Exactly.
He's going to be better than J.J. McCarthy.
And Jacoby Brissett.
I mean, that's...
I'm in.
But he's still going to be throwing to the same kind of stuff he was throwing to in 2019, minus Ryan Izzo.
Wow, this ended really strong. It started off real rough.
Yeah, well, you
started off real rough.
You were a bully. You were a bully.
Wait, listen.
Bully Fourier.
Hey, bully heart. No one
I saw you bullying.
Should be talking
I
about
think
a bully.
You like Gerard too much, and you won't say anything mean about him.
Is that how I sound?
That's been sitting in your pocket for a couple weeks.
No.
Seems well, listen, like it was building up.
It is. What are you talking about? Like, there is a lot of noise about how connected you are to Mayo, and, you know, and that's no secret. But that's...
No, but I mean, to impugn one's objectivity based upon the notion that I did a TV show with the guy I just don't think it exists.
You're attacking the man's credibility.
Yeah.
Hold on. I'm looking up impugn. Chris Gasper.
Any coach, when they come in, is going to absolutely have their shortcomings highlighted, which his shortcomings right now are inexperience, you know, clarity of message, et cetera. But I also think you give him the amount of latitude. I was talking to Felger last night on BST. I'm like, when do you want Alex Van Pelt and Ben McAdoo fired then? Exactly. Because, you know, he's in a position where he just continues to say on television how horrible these guys are. I'm like, how do you know that? So there's a benefit of the doubt product. So, again, if they stop doing their jobs, if centers start lining up at wide receiver, then we'll have a conversation about how they should have kept the sign up.
All right. The sign is down. Tommy Curran, have a great weekend.
See you, Tom.
And we'll talk to you next week. Next Tuesday, Tommy Curran, back in your regular spot. Thanks, Tom. That's Tommy Curran. All right. So we got to do some trending.
Okay.
And we have got to finally.
What?
Since Merlone Investments first started years ago, you would have been all over this before it even happened. That's the Ohtani gambling situation. We'll do some trending with Billy, and we'll do that when we come back.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Remember, you can listen to WEEI on your smart speaker.
Just say, play 93.7 WEEI.
Now, more of Gresh and Fourier on WEEI.
All right, Lou, it's time to get back to it. I want you to put your gambling, degenerate gambler hat on real quick, and to you too. Because a 36-page affidavit has been filed against Shohei Ohtani's former interpreter.
Yep.
Is it Ipe?
Ipe, yes.
Ipe Mizuhara.
Yep.
Who was accused of stealing more than $16 million from Ohtani. So I'm just going to read you a couple things from this complaint because it's the United States of America versus Mizuhara, okay? And you just let me know what stands out to you when I'm done. All right, so the 35966 records, okay, all from the affidavit, the complaint that was filed, reflect approximately 19,000 wagers between December 2021 and January 2024. 19,000 wagers and nearly 25 bets per day on average.
Jesus.
The wagers reflected in this 35966 records ranged in value, ready for this, from roughly $10 to $160,000 per bet.
$10 with like the first week.
Let me just test it out, right?
I'm down $3 million. Let's see. I'm going to bet $10 on a parlay.
With an average bet amount, Lou, of roughly $12,800. Now, during this period, the records reflect total winning bets of, I don't even know if this is right, $142 million, almost $143 million.
Yeah.
And total losing bets of over $180 million. basically $183 million, leaving a total net balance of negative $40 million. It did not reflect any games bet on baseball. I should say big deal, no big deal. I mean, the amount of spending on this is insane.
Well, I'll say this. Number one, it is a huge deal if he did not bet on baseball. It is. Like, that's just a different level given the position he's in and who he works for. I was blown away when I just saw some of those numbers. You know, 25 a day.
25 bets a day on average.
And $83 million, basically in 24 months, 2 years.
Yeah.
$183 million he bet. Now, he hit some because he got 141 of it back.
Right.
But still, I want to watch Shohei Ohtani play baseball the rest of his career. I want to believe that he has nothing to do with this. But you go back when the story first broke, and sometimes you can't take back what was said. How these two are brothers. They spend all the time together. Off days. Spend all day long just hanging out together. And that type of relationship, 25 bets a day, $183 million. And it's like, yeah, I had no idea what was going on. It's all behind my back. Like, I have a hard time thinking that. Who
with
wouldn't?
So many people,
everybody
with
does.
So many people involved in his life, I can't imagine. So you brought it up. Okay, so he didn't actually make a lot of money playing baseball, right? Like his salary playing for the Angels was not what it is now.
He had made so going into 23, before even his last year of arbitration where he went nuts. I think he had made $40 million on the field. Okay, $40 million on the field. So we're talking about. Well, what was he putting, 22, 23 of it? Actually, his dollars?
Yeah.
$20 million maybe? Agents, everything else? Now, off the field, makes a lot of money. But he doesn't have $1 billion. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know if he had $100 million to $150 million kind of stashed with a financial advisor, someone watching it, and it's just $180 million. Boom, 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 boom. Like, just in and out, over the course of 2 years total. It's a bad financial advisor.
And it's not believable. Like, that's the biggest part. Just the sniff test, like, that doesn't. I once transferred some money or wired some money from, an online savings account to something else, and it took me, there were a lot of steps involved. Yeah. There was, and he's just willy-nilly, there's millions. Plus, where's the other? So, he, net losses was 40-something million.
Yeah.
And he stole 16 million.
24, still floating.
Right. Isn't that what you get, your knees broken over, or you're found dead somewhere? The other question is, I don't know. Maybe you guys have heard. I don't want to assume anything beyond that. How's he placing all these bets?
Bookie.
Is it text? But is it text? Is it phone call? So he's placing 25 bets a day.
There are records. They release actual records of his conversations with the bookkeeper.
25 a day. That is getting after it.
And so there's chances Shohei's around. Shohei knows everything that's going on. Either he's placing them or he's well aware. And either way, what the hell is he allowing his best buddy interpreter to go $40 million in the hole? There's just so many questions that aren't answered in a simple, logical way here.
And if Ohtani, it is his bank account. Did his interpreter turn off his notifications?
Right.
Does he not get notified? If I spend a certain amount of money or if my credit card is used, even though I'm using it, I'll get, a fraud alert. The bank will call me. Did you try to make this purchase?
Apparently, I think maybe he might have altered that type of thing. But I just still go back to 25 a day, how close these guys are, how the story originally was one thing and then immediately was changed within the next day. It went from, he signed this and bailed me out. I got the gambling problem too. Massive theft.
Right.
No, he didn't sign this and bail me out. I didn't say that. Wait, did I? I did? No, he didn't.
Plus,
he had nothing to do with it. It's just the whole early on process.
Oh, the interview and then
I just don't think anybody. I mean, nobody believes it.
Nobody.
I mean,
nobody. But even should be careful. I always go back to, we're on the radio. This is what we do, right? We question. We're cynical. We speculate. But Andrew Brandt has been very active and vocal on Twitter, who is a lawyer, an agent, a team president.
Yeah.
And he's BS. That seems like BS. He's not a guy that would be prone to just throwing crap out there like we might on the radio. So all these very smart, educated, experienced people are calling BS. The other question I had, you brought up baseball. Baseball would be that'd be a line of demarcation, right?
Yeah.
So This is a guy's got a problem. He's betting 25 times a day. What's he betting on in late June, July, early August?
I don't know. Soccer going on?
I don't know.
Like, because he was betting on soccer, betting on everything, like all these different sports.
Oh, so he's betting on everything.
And I'm
but
sure
baseball.
There's a lot of prop Correct. Bets as well. All right. So okay.
I don't
so
believe it.
How can
I believe it?
Here's where it gets real tricky. Okay. So this is from the last page of the complaint, and this is where I think he's in trouble. And we'll figure out what Major League Baseball has to do with it when you hear this. So from the last page, the last paragraph of this complaint, on or about March 20th, 2024, Mizuhara messaged Bookkeeper One stating, "Have you seen the reports?" Question mark. Because there was an article coming out in one of the papers, I think it was the LA Times, questioning Ohtani, questioning the bookmakers, like an expose, mm-hmm. right? And so they're trying to figure out, hey, have you heard this? Have you seen this? Bookmaker One responded, "Yes, but that's all BS. Obviously, you didn't steal from him. I understand it's a cover job. I totally get it." Mizuhara then responded to Bookmaker One stating, "Technically, I did steal from him. It's all over for me." The line that I think is going to really cause some concern is the whole one, "I understand it's a cover job. I totally get it." I mean, if that's... So is the bookmaker just like screwing with this guy, toying with him? Is he planning evidence? Is he trying to just, you know, ruin Ohtani? And that to me, either the guy is just totally being a jerk, knowing that eventually the feds are going to be onto him. They're going to start catching him. They're going to grab his phone. He wants it on record, or at least he's involved in it.
Yeah. It's the only. So I think as everybody knows, like, no bookmaker is going to give you a limit of like $50 million.
Right.
Right? Like, it's not, it's like, hey, I'll give me $10 million. Give me $1 million. They're like, what? Like, $10 million? Excuse me? Well, this is what I do for a living. This is who I work for. So he's backing me. Let's just say he just says it without Ohtani knowing. You know what I mean? Like, is that enough for someone to say, got it? Or does he need, like, proof? He's like, oh, yeah, I want to hear from him.
I would think.
I want to hear from him that he's got you, because you, the bets you're making right now, you got a bad 4 or 5 months. We're talking 15, 20 million bucks. So I'm not taking your word that he's got you. I need him. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And that's the part that's kind of like, oh, Jesus. So then you get into, like, if he was involved, then what? You know, if there's no record of baseball, still, it's still illegal using a bookie.
Right.
In California, forget about the whole, like, they don't have DraftKings and everything else, whatever. It's Mass you do, but... Even in Mass, if you get involved with like a massive bookie ring, that's still illegal, even though you can still gamble in Mass. You can't use a bookie.
Right. And then you get into IRS and taxes and money going back and forth and those things.
So just like, you know, Chris Carter said, everybody needs a fall guy.
Yeah.
Because there is, I didn't pull the quotes, but there are a couple quotes in here about these two, Bookmaker One and Mizuhara, texting back and forth. Where Mizuhara was trying to make a bet, he was down.
This is
down.
After the story. Oh, okay, go ahead.
Okay, so this is before. Okay. They went and grabbed his phone. They just took all the text messages, yep. right? Paraphrasing, hey, listen, you know who I am. You know I'm good for it, right? Alluding to Ohtani. Like, who doesn't know? If you're in California, if you're in Orange County, who doesn't know Ohtani?
Yeah, but just because you work for a guy that makes right. $100 million a year doesn't mean you're good for it.
I right. think the implication was this guy is footing the money.
Yeah.
Like, he's my backer. The bets are really for him. Then you go back to the very last page of the complaint, which is USA versus Mizuhara. It basically waits the very last sentence to basically say this is why he's guilty. Mizuhara was just the fall guy for Ohtani. Like, if that, even just the question of that should require Major League Baseball to do something about it.
It's crazy. Yeah, I think you do some. I don't know what that is, but
what is Ohtani
really
guilty of?
I really hope that Ohtani didn't know anything about it. But personally, I can't get myself to even
what
wrap
if
my
he
head
did?
Around
what
that.
If he did, and he just likes to gamble, but he's not, he's stupid, but he's not, you know, dumb. He doesn't literally bet on baseball. He just likes to bet, and him and his buddy are taking turns, and I got some prop bets. Hey, I'll take this too. So he's not betting on baseball. So everybody's betting on everything.
Yeah.
So if you're guilty,
but it's still illegal.
Fine. Okay. So that's the only thing he's guilty of. I don't see him getting hit with any sort of suspension.
Well, my question is, we all know why baseball would want it to be the interpreter. Why is the FBI, there has been no implication that the investigators are going after Ohtani, correct?
So far.
But why would, if they thought the big fish was Ohtani, I mean, maybe I'm wrong here. I've watched a lot of movie and TV shows. Don't they usually go after the big fish?
Yeah, they give the other guy a deal.
Right.
A plea deal.
To turn on the big fish.
Yeah, give me this guy.
But you read it, Christian. There's no implication that they're not going down that road. I know why baseball would avoid that road. Why would the FBI avoid that road?
Yeah, and I don't know what protocol is. Okay, this is the charges against this guy. Let's look into it. The more we look into it, it's looking more and more like we should probably start looking into somebody else.
Somewhere
so it's
else.
Like you got to go down this road here first. And for you, I'm with you because it's like, you know, the whole Michael Jordan thing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I mean, it wasn't a bookie, but how much money he's betting. Of course, we all know he probably was using a bookie, right?
And yeah.
That whole, like, just rumor or, like, story. I don't know, did he go to baseball because they just quietly wanted to go away from the NBA?
2 years suspension.
But, I mean, professional athletes, it's like back then it was like you were gambling. Let's talk about Phil Mickelson gambling on the golf course.
One.
And it's like, okay, guy makes a lot of money, like Shohei Ohtani. You know, he just signed for $700 million. If he wants to bet $150 million on sports, go right ahead. I know it's not that simple as long as you're not betting on baseball.
Right.
So to your point, Christian, it's like, okay, what is the penalty? And that's why I say the most important thing here is baseball. Because Pete Rose somewhere right now is looking for an interpreter. Right?
Like,
right
he says now, it. He actually
Like right now, Pete Rose is sitting there going, what are you guys going to do? Yeah.
Right.
You know, oh, he didn't bet on baseball? You know, like he's probably just screaming and yelling from some appearance in Vegas, signing whatever he's signing. But it's baseball, it's like we're talking different level here. Not baseball, but $180 million. Okay, he's worth $700.
See, the one thing they
an interpreter, I'd be scot-free.
So here's the thing. So his interpreter, Mizuhara, has agreed to self-surrender to federal authorities today. He's to appear in court for the first time today, this afternoon, Los Angeles time, and he's expected to be released on bond. And will not enter a plea. He's not going to enter a plea. So he's probably just going to take whatever they give him and whatever that actually is. And then if he's stealing from Ohtani, Ohtani could actually say, no big deal. I don't care. I'm not pressing charges.
And
I'm
he hasn't.
Okay with it. He hasn't said, I feel like he has to prove his innocence.
See, that's the thing with this. If it's sort of like, we've been betting illegally with a bookie. What are you going to give us? Instead, it's turned into, this dude stole $40 million.
Right.
You're going away for a long time. You know what I mean? Yeah, a long time. So it's like, which is it? Do you just admit that you both used a bookie and you deal with that? Or you throw one guy to the wolves and goes to jail for a very long time for stealing $40, $50, or making $180 million worth of bets?
Yeah. This is above my pay grade because I feel like you're going to hear like wire this, laundering something, tapping, like all these various laws that are financial crimes where boom, 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 they start adding years and years and years and you go away.
It's not, he's not running a Ponzi scheme, which would be a little bit different, like a Madoff situation.
No, but if he changed the credentials or whatever on Ohtani's banking.
He's forging his signature.
Forging signatures, you know, transferring money without approval. I feel like there's a lot. And also the other, I still have the question that Lou said. This $24 million seems to be dangling in the breeze here that the bookie should be owed or is owed. Like, and then the tax level. Taxes got Al Capone. Remember the old thing?
Like, that's true.
You can kill people. You can do all these things, but you screw with the IRS
can't screw the
and
government.
They get you.
Okay, so we got rid of that story. So at 1 o'clock, I want you guys to prep for this before we get to Big Deal, No Big Deal. Because at 1 o'clock, it is a four-year production of a new game that I like to call the Game of Choices.
Ooh, I like
the Game of Choices.
Fourier games always go perfectly.
And that's why they're so enjoyable. But first, we got to get to Big Deal, No Big Deal.
Ooh.
Because Aaron Rodgers, legit, I think he's lost his mind. And Lou, you'd appreciate this.
Oh, okay.
I was so good at football that I scared Giancarlo Stanton into playing baseball. That's Big Deal, No Big Deal next.
Gresh and Fourier on WEEI.
You got anything to say for yourselves?
We didn't think it was that big a deal.
No big deal.
It's a big deal.
Big deal.
Nothing's a big deal.
big deal.
It's no big deal.
No big deal.
I don't know how to put this, but kind of a big deal.
Kind of a big deal in New England right now.
No big deal.
You know what? Actually, I feel like this is no big deal.
Not a big deal. Is that how everyone feels?
Not a big deal, huh?
Big deal. Who cares?
Can't deal with it.
Yeah,
I can't deal with it.
This is a huge deal.
Big deal, no big deal. You know what's a big deal? Getting this hot honey all in my eye, like, is just such a rookie move.
What's going in your mouth?
Oh.
Excuse me?
I'm a mess right now.
Not in your eyes. Save that one.
Again. Nick, you do with this what you may.
Hot honey in my eye. Supposed to go in your mouth.
Don't
You're
you
right.
have glasses?
I have my glasses. I don't know how it got in
you
there.
You have safety glasses on. How'd you get hot honey
in your eye? I have no idea how it got in there. All right, so let's get started, right? Because I want to make sure I have plenty of time for make good choices. All right. So have you guys been paying attention at all to what Aaron Rodgers is up to? Like, forget about his injuries, but it's more of his political aspirations. Have you guys noticed this?
Last I heard, he was going to run for vice president.
Right. He's Kennedy's VP.
Yes.
Maybe.
Well, I don't think
but
he is.
But he's not anymore.
No.
She officially named somebody.
But I feel like he is stumping for him. But and it's this is just, okay, this clip is about 52 seconds long. Okay. I just want you just to bear with me. It will pay off in the end when you hear how this answer goes.
So Bobby loses his uncle, JFK, his father, RFK. Mm-hmm. His cousin dies in a plane crash when he was running against Hillary Clinton. Like, I'm not saying that was a conspiracy, but it's kind of a weird coincidence. Bobby's in danger, you know? Like, he's putting himself on the line.
Yeah.
Why? Because he believes in this country. He believes in this country. He believes in the good in people, and he believes he can make a difference. That's somebody I can get behind who's willing to lay it on the line. Because that is, like I said earlier, the archetype of everything we love about Luke Skywalker and Han Solo. Everything we love about Frodo and Sam and Aragorn and Gandalf and Merry and Pip. Right? Everything that we love about Gamora.
Mm-hmm.
And Groot, and Rocket, and Drax.
Marvels.
I feel like I need Keith to interpret this.
No, I know. Okay, so he was a guest on the I Can Fly podcast, and I'll start with you, Lou. Like, listen, he's stumping for Bobby Kennedy, but using Marvel references and the Hobbit references as an example to explain why he loves America. Big deal, no big deal.
It's honestly to me, it's like no big deal because it's the norm.
Like that's just the norm or norm for
100%.
Him?
100%. His norm.
His norm. Oh, okay.
I'm just saying, like, his norm. Like, when I was first brought to Aaron Rodgers' norm, I was like, dude. Like, you know, we're still thinking of him as the football player. Is he overrated? You know, should have won more. Like the football player. And then you started to get know him more, and then you realize this is the norm. You know, so it's to me, it's no big deal. If you heard this 5 years ago, you'd have been like, is he okay?
Well, if he led with this.
What is wrong with him?
If he led
but now
with this,
it's
absolutely.
Normal.
Okay, what do you think? Big deal, no big deal.
No big
goes
deal.
Off,
no big
goes
deal.
Off
the same reason. I was watching South Park the other night, and they threw an F word out there that if any of us said it, we'd never work again. And I'm like, if I heard that on any TV show not named South Park, your heart would stop. You'd be like, what the hell just happened?
Yeah.
But South Park is just being South Park. This is Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah.
If I heard other people say this, like Tom Brady sits down and says this, Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes, you're like, oh, record scratch.
Like I said, I would say if Aaron Rodgers said this 8 years ago,
right?
After 5 years in the league, you would be like, dude, is he okay?
Is he crossed over?
Gramps is off the rails. Let him go.
Skywalker and Han Solo, Frodo and Sam and Aragorn and Gandalf and Merry and Pip, Gamora and Groot and Rocket.
Did you alter that at all?
No. This is him. We sped it up just a little bit.
Well, I just grabbed the names.
But here's the thing. I feel like this is a SAT question. You know, like Luke Skywalker is the Han Solo, as Princess Leia is the Darth Vader. Like what?
As Groot.
Like, what is like, it? Just. I guess you're right. Like no big deal for me because I feel like nobody's even caring anymore.
Does anybody take him seriously?
No, that's it. Because it's no big deal because nobody takes him serious anymore. So it's like ineffective.
Yeah.
It doesn't. It's no gotcha moment because you just don't. Hey, I just went on an ayahuasca retreat again, and all I could think about was Han Solo.
Right.
Yeah. It doesn't offend me. It doesn't resonate. It's just like, yeah, I heard it. Well, let's move on to the next one. Whatever.
At this point, it's Aaron Rodgers.
Yep.
Okay. So let me read you this headline real quick, and this is from a website called The Trojan Wire. Quote headline: What could have been for Giancarlo Mike Stanton and USC football? Do you know his middle name was Mike?
Yeah, he used to go by Mike.
Did he? Okay, I only know him as Giancarlo. All right, I'm going to read you a quick couple paragraphs from this article.
Okay.
Okay. It says, during his senior year at wide receiver, Giancarlo Michael Stanton caught 29 passes for 745 yards and 11 touchdowns, with an average of more than 25 yards per catch. On the defensive side of the ball, Stanton played strong safety. At 6'4", 210 pounds,
damn,
he totaled 50 tackles and 5 interceptions. He was also a punter, making him a 3-phase player. Pretty desirable.
Bill Belichick, you can play all 4 downs, baby.
Okay, yeah, right. So here's the part I want you to pay attention to. Stanton went up against notable opponents in high school. Christian Fourier, Mark Tyler, Richard Sherman, and Jimmy Clausen. He was able to hold his own. Big deal, no big deal. Giancarlo Stanton held his own against Christian Fourier when Christian Fourier was retired from football.
Fourier, whose dad, Christian, was a tight end with the Patriots.
Yeah, that's why it's no big deal. You should be used to this. He thought your nephew was your kid.
Yeah.
So now you got stories about you and Giancarlo Stanton playing against one another, which is, what, 15, 20 years apart?
It cannot be farther from my life.
You read that earlier, and I was like, wait, how old did you really? You're like, no, we never played against each other.
And where did Richard Sherman go to high school? Stanton went to a high school called Notre Dame, Catholic school, co-ed. I went to an all-boy Catholic school called Crespi, maybe, I don't know, 3 miles away from each other.
Yeah.
Right? They were really good. We were just hanging on. And I saw this. Somebody sent this to me. I was like, wow, I was pretty. I got beat up by Stanton, or was I so good against him that he decided football wasn't the life for him?
Or, yeah, he's 20 years, whatever. 15 years
younger
than me.
Yeah, I was in high school.
I was finishing up my NFL career.
Did you average 25 yards a catch?
See, shut up. See, you know what? I just walked right into that.
You just thought.
Shut up.
Okay. I actually think it's a big deal. No, I actually think it's a big deal. You should take this as a compliment. Like, you're such a big name. Like, you just somehow immersed yourself in the story. The writer was like, Christian Fourier. Boom. It just came off the tongue.
Can I ask you a question?
Really, you're coming out of Colorado, I thought was not elite, but, you know, but good.
Your nephew.
4-5-1,
where did he go to high school?
4-5-1, yeah.
Where'd your nephew go to high school?
Same high school.
That's who he's talking about.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I knew you were good for something. But this is why that quote from Joe Buck is perfect, because that on the Joe Buck game, okay, Joseph was my son, and now they probably just looked up great players at Crespi High School or something.
Right, and it came up you.
Joseph Fourier, whose dad, Christian, was a tight end with the Patriots.
Yeah. See? You're just on the tip of the tongue.
Story, rather than Christian, just said Joseph. So Joseph scared Stanton.
Did Joseph average
6'7", 220 in high school as opposed to 6'4", 185?
That's what you were?
Yeah.
You were 185 at 6'4?
You were a little pinner.
I was a big letter L running. I was a big letter L running down the field.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I had these big giant knee braces. I was.
No wonder you avoided contact.
Baby giraffe?
Huh?
Were you a baby giraffe? Like trying to run?
I didn't run back then.
You were like Gesicki.
You said you ran a 4.5.
When I got into high school, listen.
You trip on the 20?
I jumped on the weights, and I powered through it, and I became a man.
A man?
Did you hurdle the 20 to make sure you didn't stumble on it?
I was pretty fast at one point in time. One point in time in my life. 4.51 on record.
What
I'll
record?
I'll even show you
you
the game.
Proof?
Yeah, I do. I'll show it to you.
You have like that NFL Network thing?
I have a clip from a game we played against Michigan where they listed my speed.
That's
and I
proof.
Screenshot it.
It was a little
Keith Jackson was like, look at that tight end. He's so fast. Thank you.
Did he really?
Yes.
Okay, that's cooler than the number.
Right?
If you have Keith Jackson talking about
I
you.
I know.
Christian
Fourier rumbling, stumbling around the sideline.
Now, that's awesome.
I've
seen
people
put the
right?
graphics.
That's what I mean.
Yeah,
okay.
But we've seen graphics been
that
wrong
are wrong
before.
All the time.
I'll stop it. They get it from our strength coach would never exaggerate speeds.
4.71.
Yeah.
Or maybe you were 4.7?
You.
Maybe you were 5.41.
No, I was I ran a 4.96 or something. I'm slow.
What
as
happened?
My back, my knee, my shoulder.
Jesus. Ah, my back.
You started bitching about your back way back then.
Look, I broke my arm.
40 years ago.
Ooh, I broke.
I was like, ooh, I can't run it. I did try to run 39 yards instead of a 40. They caught me.
You are the ultimate.
I did. I was like, they're like, hey, you got to back up a yard. Damn it.
Wow.
Oh, cheating bastard.
Already didn't have any confidence in your
probably
speed.
Probably grew your hair out, too. Figured if you went head first, you'd get an extra couple inches.
Like now.
Like a swimmer. Like a swimmer. All right, are you guys ready? Big deal, no big deal. Are you ready for the game of choices? Now, this is meant for you to feel uncomfortable. This is meant for you to just give one answer.
What does that
mean? The questions will not be easy. Some people may hold these answers against you. I'm just warning you right now. The game of choices is next.